सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरम्। हरि ओम्। सो लास्ट वीक वी डिड एन इंट्रोडक्शन टू दिस टेक्स्ट वाक्यवृत्ति विच डिस्क्राइब्स वन ऑफ द फोर महावाक्यस तत्त्वम असि, एंड वी टॉक्ट अबाउट द फोर महावाक्यस एंड हाउ दिस नॉलेज is beyond the mind and the intellect. And it is indicated by the words. We have to go to what is indicated, not what is expressed. Then last week we did the first shloka, which talks about Bhagwan Vishnu, who was Shankaracharyaji's Ishtadevta, and he describes him as the creator, sustainer, destroyer of this whole universe. And he is the Vishveshwaram, he is the lord of the whole world, and also he manifests as all these objects of the world, and he is free ever of all bondages, and apar sukha is nature of bliss. And by worshipping this Bhagwan Vishnu, we can also experience that joy and that bliss and get free from bondages. So now today we will, after having offered his prostrations to the Lord, now Shankaracharya ji is offering his prostrations to his Guru. So it is on page 11. If you can please open. Varshaben, you have this book? Shloka number 2, page 11.
Okay.
Yasya prasadat ahameva Vishnuhu.
यस्य प्रसादात् अहमेव विष्णुः
मय्येव सर्वं परिकल्पितं च
मय्येव सर्वं परिकल्पितं च
इत्थं विजानामि सदात्मरूपम्
इत्थं विजानामि सदात्मरूपम्
तस्यांघ्रि पद्मं प्रणतोऽस्मि नित्यम्।
तस्याङ्घ्रिपद्मं प्रणतोऽस्मि
यू
नित्यम्।
कैन म्यूट, विल ऑल चैंट टुगेदर। यस्य प्रसादात् अहमेव विष्णुः मय्येव सर्वं परिकल्पितं च इत्थं विजानामि सदात्मरूपम् तस्याङ्घ्रि पद्मं प्रणतोऽस्मि नित्यम्। सो ही प्रोस्ट्रेट्स टू हिज गुरु एंड ही सेज यस्य प्रसादात्। यस्य मीन्स हूज, प्रसाद, प्रसाद हियर डज नॉट मीन सम मिठाई और सम, बट हिज ग्रेस, हिज ब्लेसिंग्स. अहमेव विष्णु, आई एम विष्णु, एंड मई एव, इन मी अलोन सर्वम परिकल्पितम च, एंड ऑल दिस वर्ल्ड इज सुपर इम्पोज अपॉन मी. एंड इत्थम विजानामि, एंड दिस आई नो वेरी वेल एज सदात्म रूपम, इट इज माई ओन एक्सप्रेशन. माई आत्मा, माई कॉन्शियसनेस एक्सप्रेस इज एवरीवेयर, एंड हाउ एंड टू दैट गुरु हु हैज रिवील्ड मी टू मी दिस नॉलेज, तस्यांग्री पद्मम, टू हिज लोटस फीट प्रणतोस्मी नित्यम. आई बाउ डाउन इटर्नली ऑलवेज. सो हियर वी सी दी गुरु शिष्य परंपरा, दैट ऑल दिस नॉलेज एज वी डू इन द बिगिनिंग, यदा सदा शिव समारंभाम, इट स्टार्ट फ्रॉम शंकराचार्य जी, फ्रॉम लॉर्ड शिवा टू शंकराचार्य जी टू आवर गुरु. लाइक यू नो वी प्रोस्ट्रेट टू स्वामी ईश्वरानंदा जी वेन ही कम्स, देन ही स्टडीड अंडर स्वामी चिदानंद जी, स्वामी चिदानंद जी स्टडीड अंडर स्वामी तेजो मायानंदा जी, देन स्वामी चिन्मयानंदा, तपोवन महाराज. सो दिस होल गुरु शिष्य परंपरा इज वॉट वी प्रोस्ट्रेट टू, एंड देन इट इज हिज ग्रेस, हिज ब्लेसिंग्स, वी विल टॉक अबाउट दैट. बट ही सेज आई एम विष्णु. सी इट इज वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग, इन द फर्स्ट श्लोक ही सेज टू दैट विष्णु आई बाउ डाउन, नमामि, हु इज द क्रिएटर सस्टेनर डिस्ट्रॉयर ऑफ द होल यूनिवर्स, एंड देन ही सेज आई एम दैट विष्णु. सो पीपल ऑलवेज गेट कंफ्यूज, एंड इवन इन वेदांता पीपल विल टेल यू यू आर गॉड, एंड इफ समबडी टेल्स यू यू आर गॉड, दैट इज इनकरेक्ट. I can never be God because God is the creator, sustainer, destroyer of this whole universe. And here it is expressed as Bhagwan Vishnu. And I cannot create anything except confusions. That is all my abilities in this world. So how can I be that God? How can I be that Bhagwan Vishnu who is all pervading? Not who is all per who is all powerful, he's all joy, who's all bliss, all knowing, all that. So here, when we say, I am that, or I am Vishnu, I here, he's not talking about I as the BMI. So in the first one, when I bow down to Lord Vishnu, I bow down as this individual BMI, this little I. And that is confused. I am, you know, I am in, I am have limited power, limited knowledge. But when in the second shloka, when he says, I am Vishnu, then I, he's referring to not Shankaracharya as this human entity, but the essence, the consciousness, the Atma. So that I is, and that Vishnu, who is this Vishnu that is referred to in the second shloka? In the first shloka, Vishnu Bhagwan is referred to as Ishwara, the Sagun with the creator, sustainer, destroyer, all that, with his qualities that he's ever blissful, he's very kind, he's compassionate, all that. But here, Vishnu refers to the all-pervading reality, which is Brahman. So we have to understand the context. Otherwise, people get very confused in Vedanta that, oh, you Vedantis are very arrogant because you think you are God. Now, we are not saying we are God, but that consciousness in me, that is Atma, the Self, the Om in the BMI chart is one. There is only one consciousness which is all pervading. And then I am not separate from that. I am that. And that is my true nature. So we have to understand, is the attention on Atma or attention on BMI? And so people get confused because they mix or they think I am, you know. So you have to understand which is the I. Is that clear to everyone? Yeah. So that all-pervading consciousness, because Vishnu not only refers to Bhagwan Vishnu, but Vishnu means vyapaka, all-pervading. The word Vishnu means all-pervading consciousness. So it is that same consciousness that is all over the world, sustains the world, and also manifests as Bhagwan, Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Brahmaji, Sri Ram, Krishna, Mother Saraswati. So all the manifestations are one, and that we have to understand. So there is no argument, there is no idea that, oh, my God is superior to your God. Yes, we have an Ishta Devta which we love, and that is fine. But then you have to, that form of Bhagwan has to take you to formless. Otherwise, you get limited. Okay, this is alone is God, and that becomes fanatic. And that's why people say, if anybody who doesn't belong to my faith, he deserves to be killed. So that is fanaticism, not understanding the meaning of God. So I thought I'll clarify that, because right in two verses, Shankaracharya ji has used Vishnu in two different ways. And then I have so many problems. You say, I have this problem, I have that problem, my family problem, money problem, wife problem, children problem, grandchildren, all these problems I have, my neighbor problem. So it is said that all these problems are to the body. So what you have to understand, I am that Atma, the Chaitanya, and body's problems are not my problems. Mental problems are not my problems. Intellectual problems are not my problem. Does not mean that you don't take care. If you have a physical problem, you go take medicine. But do not think that, oh, I am suffering, I am sick. No, I am that Atma. The body is going through its prarabdha. You see, every body, whatever years we have to live, we come with certain prarabdha, certain, what do you call it, destiny, and the body will go through. So you take the medicine and then just watch. Okay, theek hai, body ko ho raha, it's not happening to me. And you stay in that bliss, then automatically the body's discomforts become less. If you keep your attention on God, automatically your pain, your suffering will become less. So even in the midst of discomfort, remember Bhagwan, my Ishta Devta, O Lord, you are mine, you are with me at all times, and I have nothing. Same thing when you have any emotional stress or intellectual confusion, and your mind is very disturbed, agitated, you say, I am the Atma, the Chaitanya, I am the witnessing consciousness. And in my presence, this mind is disturbed. Okay, let it be, but I am not. So when you witness the mind, then automatically the mental sorrows, confusions, all become less. So you have to always remind yourself, not only in meditation, but at all times, I am Chaitanya. I am not this body. Yes, as this individual, as the BMI, as I'm functioning in the world, I have to be a servant of Bhagavan. But as Atma consciousness, God and I are one, because that Atma, that Brahman alone is everywhere. So that Brahman, I am. When I say I am that Brahman, then mayeva sarvam parikalpitam cha. Everything that you see is superimposed upon consciousness. That's why they say Brahman is the substratum upon which this whole universe is superimposed, like a dream. We'll talk about the dream in a little bit. So all is in me. But this thing, nobody will tell you. When you were born and you were growing up, did anybody tell you are Atma? No. And then you are a boy or a girl, and these are your friends, these are your brothers, sisters, your parents. You go to school, high school, college, master's, PhD, you do all those. Does anybody tell you are that consciousness? No. No school, no college. It is only in Vedanta, when we go through this knowledge, that you understand that my true nature is that. And one has to constantly remember, until you understand that I am that, realization will not happen. So I have to all the time stay with the idea, I am that consciousness, this world is my expression, and that is who I really am. And this conscious, people think, oh, Om is something in the heart, some little small thing. and time to time I have to pay attention. No. Om is all pervading. I am in Om. Om is not in me. I as the BMI. So when we are talking, you have to understand that how am I talking, as the BMI or as consciousness? And they said, Parikalpitam cha, this whole world is superimposed upon me like a dream. See, in a dream, we see the whole world, and I am also there as a little entity, and I am sleeping. And then, so this reminds me of a story. So this person was attending a spiritual camp, and you know, before every meal at the Chinmaya mission, they chant, can you please mute, all of you, please mute your computer unless you are speaking. Auntie, you can, I'll mute you. Because they said it comes in the recording. So anyway, so this person was attending this spiritual camp of the Chinmaya mission, and every meal they start with Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmar. Now you know that shloka. Even Swamiji's, when they come, they begin their meal with that. And briefly, I will explain. So, you know, in an Havan Kund, when we do the offer to the fire, the offering, the mantra says, Brahma is the offering. Brahma is the fire. The one who is chanting mantras, the Panditji, is Brahma. And I, who am performing the yajna, I am also Brahman. The ghee is Brahman. And by chanting the mantras, the goal is Brahman. The goal is the highest. So same way, when we are eating, why do we chant Brahmarpanam before eating? Because they say the food is Brahman. The one who prepared the food, she is Brahman. The food is eaten by me, I am Brahman. The food is digested by the fire within me, that is Brahman. And the purpose of eating food is that so may my body be healthy, my mind be healthy, so I can pursue the goal of Brahman. So that is why. So anyway, so he had learnt this Brahmarpanam, every meal they were chanting. And so that night he went to sleep, and in his dream he saw a tiger. So tiger was there, he was there, and he saw the tiger sitting in front of a fire and chanting Brahmarpanam. That means now tiger is ready to eat, right? Because it is chanting is always done before meal. So this person got very scared, you know, oh, the tiger is going to eat me now. He's chanting Brahmarpanam. So he asked the tiger, what are you going to do now? So tiger says, how should I know? It is your dream, you decide. So we create this whole world, and then we in the dream, and then we get stressed if the dream is not pleasant. So this whole world is a projection upon consciousness, just as the dream is a projection on me, the waker. In the waker's mind, the dream is projecting because the waker is asleep. So same way, you and I are asleep to our true nature. And that's why we give reality to the world. But when we realize that my true nature is Brahman and everything is Brahman, then this world is a substratum. It loses its reality. That's why I realize Master does not give too much importance to the world, because his mind is always reveling in Brahman. You and I, we are so caught in the bondages of this world that we do not see that consciousness. And so a student went to a teacher and he bowed down and he said, Guru, I have a problem. So he says, what problem? He says, I cannot sleep. I am so stressed out. I cannot sleep. So can you help me sleep? Guru says, I'm not here to help you sleep. I am here to help you wake up. So the guru's job is to wake us up to our true reality. And he says, Vispashtam, very clearly the teacher explains, Sad Atma Rupam. Now, Sad Atma Rupam, it is Sat and Atma Rupam. So Sat means the reality, the consciousness I am, and this whole world is my own expression, the infinite variety is. So he, such a wise person, sees oneness in all. There is no difference. And how do we do that? So Gurudev in his commentary says that we have to tune our mind to the teacher. One should not only bow down, you say, I bow down to his lotus feet, that is good. But, or, we go to the guru and we take some offering, or we take some food, or we do the bhiksha for the guru, and that is all good. And we bow down. But more important is when the guru is speaking, my attention should be completely on the words of the teacher, completely. Not my mind should not be wandering here and there. And I should surrender my ego to the guru. That guru is the teacher, and I'm here to learn. So, with that attitude, where this I, me, and my should be reduced, the ego should be reduced, then only your mind will become peaceful. Otherwise, our mind is so agitated at all times. But when you are in the presence of the guru's presence is a blessing. And so this knowledge will, from objective knowledge, will become subjective knowledge. Like when you study maths or chemistry or physics, do you become math or chemistry or physics? No. The teacher will teach you as an objective science. 2 + 2 = 4. Square of the hypotenuse is the square of the other two sides, all that. So those are objective, but the Vedantic teacher tells us that you are that knowledge. So I am that knowledge, that one has to understand. In physics, you don't say, I am physics, I am chemistry. But in Vedanta, you say, I am that, so you become that. And that is very, very important, to give up your false identity of the ego and own up to the real identity of who you really are. And then it says, pranatosmi nityam. Nityam doesn't mean you keep bowing down all the time to the teacher. In the beginning you do. The idea is that constantly you surrender your ego and you constantly remember this knowledge and express your gratitude to the teacher by studying this knowledge, paying attention to the teacher, changing, that the knowledge should transform me, and by spreading this knowledge. So that is how you express your gratitude to the teacher. So he says, I bow down to my guru who has made me understand that I am that consciousness. Before we start the third shloka, there's a little introduction I would like to cover. So the student and the teacher have to meet. See, knowledge can only occur like when there is a meeting of two. So like here also, now we are meeting on Zoom. We are not meeting physically, but the idea is that a closeness should come, that this knowledge is something I need to get. So that is, and this knowledge of Brahman, there are different pramanas, pratyaksh pramana, anuman pramana, upama, all those. So there are different ways to get this knowledge. So one is pratyaksh pramana. So I see a rose and I know it is red. I see a computer, I know it is black. So that is pratyaksh pramana. But nobody will come and say, oh, here in this bottle there is Brahman. Do you see Brahman? You don't see? No, nobody will come and say. God cannot be put in a test tube and brought. People say, well, if there is God, then show him to me. You say, God cannot be seen because God is the seer within you. God is the one that is seeing everything. So that consciousness, so pratyaksha pramana does not work. Then they say, oh, upama pramana. Like upama means, like, I have never seen a zebra. See, I have never been to Africa, not even seen in a book. And somebody goes to Africa and says, I saw zebras. You say, how is a zebra look? So he knows I have never seen a zebra. So he says, have you seen a horse? Yeah. On a horse, you put stripes, and that is zebra. You know, so that is upama, that is comparison. That horse on stripes is zebra. That is upama. Again, there is nothing like Brahman, nothing like Brahman, that Brahman and something else that resembles it. Then Anuman. Anuman is that when I see smoke in the mountain, I know there is fire. So cause and effect. Fire, even though I don't see the fire, I see the smoke. But Brahman itself is not the cause of anything. Brahman is the consciousness upon which this whole world is living and multiplying and growing, just as electricity does not move the fan, but in the presence of electricity, energy, the fan moves, the heater heats. So same way, Brahman is that consciousness, that which. So how do we know that? Not by upama, not by anuman, not by pratyaksha, by shabda praman. Shabda praman means the word of the Upanishads, the words of the teacher, guru. So, and what is the nature of Brahman? So, of God or Brahman. So, you know, people start thinking that I own God. You know, this is my Ishta Devta. I only own it. So we go to a meditation camp and the person is meditating and he says, God is with me. Tomorrow he will be with somebody else. He won't be with me. So we start owning or limiting. And then he will ask somebody, you know, hire him. And he say, go around all the tents and disturb the people who are meditating so only I can see God. So all these ridiculous ideas we have, but God is effortless happiness. Effortless means in the beginning you need to put effort to reach, to know. But after that, this person effortlessly remains happy. He remains in bliss. So if you see, if you have been touched with these Mahatmas, all of them are always joyful, always, you know, blissful. Why? Because they are always in touch with that. And knowing God or knowing Brahman will remove all my insecurity. We have insecurities, we have so many doubts, we have sorrows. So, and what we are looking for an easy way. You know, why is Vedanta so difficult? People ask, why did God make it so difficult? And we want some shortcut. You know, I should, Arams, either Guru should touch my head or sprinkle water. Now, presence of the guru will give us peace of mind, and with that calm mind, you can know God. So, yes, guru touching your head or blessing you or sprinkling water or being in his presence is helpful, but I have to know it myself. So, it is not difficult because where is God? It is closest to you. God is not somebody far away. So, I have to understand that God is my true self. And all I have to do is reduce my vasanas, reduce my desires, and more contemplate upon the self. So that is how we know God. So this is the little summary of what is going to come in the next few shlokas. Number three, Pallavi, you have this. तापत्रयार्कसंतप्तः
तापत्रयाकसन्तप्तः
कश्चित् उद्विग्नमानसः
कश्चिदुद्विग्नमानसः
समाधिसाधनैर्युक्तः
समाधिसाधनैर्युक्तः
सद्गुरुं परिपृच्छति.
सद्गुरुं परिपृच्छति
We can mute, we'll all chant together.
तापत्रयार्कसन्तप्तः
कश्चिदुद्विग्नमानसः समाधिसाधनैर्युक्तः
समाधिसाधनैर्युक्तः
सद्गुरुं परिपृच्छति.
सद्गुरुं
So now, this student. And student, who is he? Tapatraya Arkasantaptaha. He is burning with the sun fire of three tapas. So that is our name. So from tomorrow, somebody asks you who you are. My name is Tapatraya Arka Santapta. That I am, because I'm suffering from three kinds of sorrows. So we can forget your name, Harsha or Pallavi, or now this new name I have. So this student is Tapatraya Arka Santapta. And then second, his second qualification, he is not only suffering from all the sorrows, Kaschit Udvigna Manasa, and this student, someone, mind is agitated. Udvigna means agitated, disturbed, very dejected mind, very disturbed minds. Samadhi sadhanaihi yuktaha.
Ayukta.
Samadhi sadhanaihi yuktaha. He is endowed with these three, with the quality, samadhi, the six, shat sampatti he has developed in himself. And Sadguru Paripriccati. Paripriccati means he asks. Pari means completely, all around. Means he wants to know everything about this knowledge. So having suffering from these three kinds of sorrows, and he mind agitated, he comes and he has this sadhan chatushtaya, out of which samadhi is, shat sampatti is one of those. And he asks the Satguru. So the three problems we all know, we know that the Adi Bhautik is that Adi Daivik is coming from the higher powers, including my karma phalas, they all come from that.
Right.
Then Adi Daivik, then Adi Bhautik is, surroundings, problem from my family, my children, my neighborhood, like I'm trying to meditate or study. And a bunch of loud motorbikes go by and it disturbs my concentration. So those are all of the surroundings. And then within me, I have physical discomforts, I have mental stress, I have intellectual confusions. And so these are the problems we have. And he says that this person approaches a teacher. So there is a beautiful story of Indra and Virochana, how to approach a teacher. So very nice story. So Indra was the king of gods, is, and Virochana is the king of the Rakshasas, the demons. And they both go to Brahma Ji for the highest knowledge. They both go together, that we need this knowledge. So they go there. So they spend a few days with Brahma Ji, and Brahma Ji tells them, you are that, and this and that. So in a few weeks, they both leave. Now Virochan says, Brahma Ji said, I am that. So means this body is that. So he goes and tells all the Rakshasas, oh, this body is that ultimate. So we have to nourish the body, feed the body, get more power, get more wealth. So worship the body as me. So that idea he gets. And he doesn't go back. He says, I learned it. Ho gaya. Now Indra sits down and thinks, this body, how can it be that ultimate? The body is dying, body is changing, body needs food, and then body needs nourishment, and I have to take care. That cannot be. So he goes back to the teacher and says, teacher, I have not understood. This body cannot be that. So teacher says, you are right. Stay here for 32 years. 32 years you stay and learn, and then you will get this knowledge. So Indra stays for 32 years, listens very carefully, whatever he can. And then he goes back, but now he thinks, I am that mind. Mind, intellect, equipment is me. So then he says that is his understanding after 32 years. So he thinks, then he goes home and starts applying it. He said, no, this mind intellect is changing, sometime happy, sometime unhappy, disturbed, sorrowful and all. This cannot be that. Cannot be. So then he goes back to Brahma Ji again. Brahma Ji says, stay another 32 years if you haven't got it. So he stays another 32 years with faith, and he listens morning, evening, all the time. Goes back, and his idea is these vasanas, desires are me. Because I have desire, that's why I do things. So desire is all powerful. Desire is most important. So these vasanas are me. And again, these vasanas cannot be me because, you know, they sometimes are good, sometimes bad, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. So he goes back again. So again, 32 years, three times. So how many? 96 years he has stayed with Indra, with Brahmaji. And then after 96 years, he goes back. And he says it is clear but still hazy. It is not 100%. So he goes back a fourth time, and this time Brahmaji tells him stay 5 years. But Brahmaji knows that he is quite advanced. So within 101 years, he gets this knowledge. So think about Indra getting. So for us, it is not a discouraging, because Shankaracharya ji knew that if he tells us stay 32 years, we'll run away. You say 32 years, forget it. I'm not going to spend so much of my time. I have so many things to do. I have to cook for my husband. I have to do this. Where I have 32 years, I may not live. So he has written beautiful books like this, you know, Vakyavritti and Vivek Chudamani and so many, you know, beautiful texts, Aparoksha Anubhuti and all. So many texts Shankaracharya ji has composed and taught this to his disciples. And then from there, our Guru Swami Chinmayananda and all our teachers. So we are blessed that we have these books. We have these, you know, living gurus who come visit us from time to time. We will be having in the between now and July, three or four visits by swamis, by mahatmas. So we are blessed. So we will get this wisdom of them. So that is the idea. But the idea is that I should not give up. I should not say, oh, I have been meditating for 6 months, nothing happened. God, I didn't see any light coming and, you know, bathing me or my mind, I didn't see blue light or green light. You know, we give up very easily. You say, forget it. You know, 6 months, I'm not. No, this is a lifetime process. Once you go on this path, this is my goal for the rest of my life. Of course, I have to do all my other duties, take care of my family, my responsibilities, whatever, take care of my body. But my main goal in this life is to reach God. So we have this knowledge, we have the teachers, the Mahatmas who come visit us. So take advantage of that and not give up. And then he says, Shamadhi sadhana. I talked in detail about sadhana chatushtaya last week. Viveka, discrimination, vairagya, detachment. Shat sampatti, we talked about shama, dama, you know, control of mind, senses, shraddha, and all that. And then we talked of mumukshutvam. I must have an intense desire for liberation. It should not be a mild. Theek hai, you know, while I'm walking on the road, if I meet God, it's okay. Nahi mila to koi baat nahi. Not like that. This life itself, I want it. Not next life or three. I don't think I am qualified. No. In this life, right now itself. So that is mumukshutvam. And what happens when sorrows come to our life, we should take shelter in this knowledge. But what a lot of us do, I have problems, so let me have a party. I'm having sorrow, so I arrange a party or I go to some friend's party and, you know, I travel. I think that by doing all those things, my problems will be solved. They won't be solved by going to traveling and all happen is your bank balance will get less. So what Vedanta tells you that I have no problems. I have no problem because Atma has no problems. I am Atma. The body, mind, intellect we already talked about will have problems. I will deal with them. And you have to go to Sadguru. Sadguru. So Sad means Sat, that means Sat. A guru who always revels in that reality, who is established in that knowledge that Sat I am. And that clear understanding the guru has. And it is said in the Shankaracharya ji says, Guru should be Shrotriyam Brahma Nishtham. Shrotriyam means he should know the scriptures And Brahma Nishtha means he should abide in this knowledge that I am Brahman. See, there may be some teachers, say that like a university professor who knows Sanskrit, and he can recite the Vedas, he can chant the Upanishads, he can even give you the meaning and translate, even do commentary, but he himself does not have experience of the truth. Or there may be a Mahatma who is living in the forest, Himalaya, somewhere, and is totally established in that truth and revels in that knowledge. And in his presence, you experience a lot of peace, his or her presence, whoever that Mahatma is. But they have not studied the Upanishads, the scriptures. They themselves abide in that knowledge, but they do not have the ability to teach because they have not spent that much time. But the ideal Vedantic guru should be one who has this knowledge and knows I am Brahman, abides in that. So, Shrotriyam Brahma Nishtham. So, that is the essence of this third verse, that I am suffering, and by going to the teacher, I will be
So.
freed. And Paripricchati, and he asks, what does he ask? So, that comes in the fourth. Hansaben, did you do? Have you chanted? Okay, you can unmute, please. Number four, Shishya
Shishya uvacha.
Uvacha
अनायासेन येनास्मा
अनायासेनयेनास्मात्
मुच्येयं भवबन्धनात्
तन्मे संक्षिप्य भगवन्
तन्मे संक्षिप्य भगवन्
केवलं कृपया वद.
केवलं कृपया वद
यू कैन म्यूट, विल ऑल चैंट टुगेदर.
अनायासेन
अनायासेन
येनास्मा
येनास्मा मुच्येयं
बन्धनात्
भवबन्धनात् तन्मे
तन्मे
संक्षिप्य भगवन्
भगवन् केवलं
केवलं कृपया
कृपया वद.
वद. सो ही सेज he kripaya vada. So in the last means with great humility he goes to the teacher. Kripaya vada, he says anayasena, without much effort. So his question is that I want this knowledge but without too much effort. What it means is that the guru is so advanced that he can teach me, and his approach is very sincere. His asking for knowledge is very sincere. So when a student is sincere and the teacher is enlightened, this knowledge happens quickly. And the yena asmat. Asmat means from this world. Muchyeyam, may I become freed. Bhavabandhanat, from the bondages of bhava. Bhava means this living existence, this world. So the world, we have so many bondages, so many attachments. I am attached to this, attached to that, want this, want that. So may I be free from all attachments of the world. Tat me sankshipya Bhagavan. Oh Bhagwan, he worships the Guru as God. That's why they say, na, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara. So, oh Bhagwan, sankshipya, briefly tell me that. So he says, I don't have too much time. I want you to tell me briefly. But that alone I want to know. So his question is very, very intelligent, that how can I be freed from these bondages of the world, from sorrow, and that alone I want. So you see, his question is very focused, very clear. And liberated, we said that the bondages are our own created. That's why in the 15th chapter it says, you can cut with the axe of detachment. So by detachment, you slowly detach from the worldly attachments, worldly bondages. Attachment means dependence. I plus I want. That is dependence. So I, as the body, mind, intellect, I have my needs, but as consciousness, nothing I need and nothing else. So slowly you detach from worldly dependence on the world. And we see the right teacher and the right student. The student is very clear and he asks the question in short. He doesn't see how do you ask a question? Some people, you know, when they go to a Vedanta class at the end, they say Q&A. So this person to ask the question will first tell a long thing about what he has understood, his knowledge, his, and then at the end he will. So he's trying to show off his knowledge in the question. But here the student is very clear that he wants to know, and with great humility he approaches the teacher. And what is a disciple? They say disciple is one who subjects himself to discipline. So the teacher will give certain discipline, certain, you know, things you should do, like control of the mind, control of senses, with, you know, study, get the right knowledge, so have Shraddha. So whatever the disciplines the teacher tells, the student is willing to carry them out. And the teacher's compassion and grace is always there, but our problem is we don't surrender. We don't surrender to the teacher. We always question, how can it this be right, or this cannot be right? You know, we always doubt. So Gurudev says in his commentary also, he has thought very clearly about, and that's why his question is very brief and very direct. He's not beating around the bush. He says, Guru, this is what I need. But he asked with great humility, Kripaya Vada, with, O Guru, please tell me this knowledge. And this also shows a surrender. When he says Bhagwan, that means I have surrendered to you. You are the Lord, you are Bhagwan, and you alone can remove my doubts. So, whatever he has heard in the past, he has contemplated upon it, but he does not have yet the final knowledge. And so, what he has to do, very important thing is to reduce our mental agitations, our disturbances, you know, because why do we get agitated? Because we have too many desires. I want this, I want that, this also, that also. So reduce the desires and reduce raga dvesha. You know, we have very strong likes and dislikes. I like this person, I don't like this person, this is my favorite, this is not. And we have raga dvesha for food, for people, for clothes. So do not have strong likes or dislikes. You know, preferences are okay. Like we said, if a Mahatma comes to the house and if he's from Kerala or from South India, and you offer him South Indian food, he will enjoy that. Even North Indian food he will eat, or Gujarati food, but his preference is, you know, South Indian. So like that, and does not mean that next time he goes to somebody else's house and gets Punjabi food, he won't say, I don't want it, or Gujarati. Whatever food comes, he cheerfully accepts. So reducing our likes and dislikes and surrendering to the teacher, and whatever I have heard from the teacher, I have to contemplate upon it. Let it not end here itself. I should think about it. And the teacher's compassion and grace are always there. But why don't I understand? Because my mind is agitated. It's so many problems, so many sorrows, and I'm just dwelling on those problems, thinking. So think, problems are there, but when I'm with the teacher, I am here to study. And this knowledge we have to apply in our life. See, then only this knowledge becomes useful. That when I have problems, then this Vedantic knowledge should come, that I am Atma, and in my presence, this body, mind, intellect is working. And of course, you take care of physical, as we said, mental problems, but do not let them overcome you. And when we approach the teacher, we should approach with humility and service. I must serve the teacher, you know, serve the teacher in whatever way I can. If I can bring food, I bring food. If I can help financially his ashram, I help him that way. But the greatest service of the teacher is to understand his knowledge, apply that in your life, follow it, and make that knowledge your own. Knowledge, your own understanding, And that is how our mental obstacles have to be removed, our agitations have to be removed, our joys and sorrows have to be reduced. And that is the way for liberation. So, how do you prepare? So, here we have seen that student in 3 and 4, how he and paripriccati, he has asked clearly all the doubts. You know, it's not that he says in one line, I want clearly and tell me that and that alone. I'm not interested in politics, in stock market, in business, in fashion, nothing. My main interest, my main goal is that. And with that attitude, when we approach the teacher, then the teacher will happily teach. And we will see that in the next shloka, in the next week, how the teacher is pleased with this question. And then the teaching will start from the 6th shloka next week. So that is the teacher's response. We'll see next week. So far, we have seen preparatory to who is the guru, who is the student, how to approach the guru, and how to prepare myself. Shamadhi sadhana. So if the shat sampatti I don't have, I must develop it. I must develop viveka, discrimination, detachment, all those things, and control of body, mind, shraddha in the teachings, and a firm abidance in this knowledge. It should not be doubtful knowledge. I should have very clear knowledge. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hari Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Thank you.